brought to you by Penguin.
Alveston by James Holland, read by Rachel Holland. One morning flight. Friday, the 18th of August, 1939, 6:30 a.m. As the aircraft lifted from the ground, Stork Castell felt the familiar jolt of the wheels over the rough grass cease, and a wave of relief swept over him. Behind him, the sun was rising over the long stretch of chalk downs. Glancing out over the edge of the cockpit, he saw the shadow of his plane separate and stretch away. In moments, he was climbing high over Farracombe and able to turn his gaze southwards across the chase, all the way to the Purbeck Hills and beyond to the sea. Despite his scarf, he felt the chill wind find and envelop his body beneath his jacket, as though he were ducking under the waves at the start of a dip in the sea. He shivered, but after the hot, sticky night and the exertion of pushing the plane clear of its hangar, the cold was deliciously fresh and invigorating. Breathing in deeply, he smelt the sweet morning freshness crisp in his nostrils, but also the musty mixture of oil, wood, and leather that was unique to the DH-4's cockpit. The Rolls-Royce Eagle growled gutturally with the strain of the climb, but at 300 feet above the ridge, he eased back the throttle, set the trim to adjust the pitch of the propeller, and banked away to the south in a wide arc until he could see the spire of Salisbury Cathedral some 10 miles to the east. Straightening, he set his course towards the familiar marker with the long line of chalk to his left. It really was a fine morning. A sky clear and cerulean already. The rolling country below, finely contoured by shadows from the rising sun. Not for the first time in his life, Stork thanked God both that he had never lost his love of flying and that he'd had the foresight to buy his DH-4 once the war was over. While many of the RAF's aircraft had been retained for post-war service, the DH-4 had been withdrawn, and with more than they had known what to do with, and no obvious buyers overseas, the Air Ministry had sold them off. Stork had bought his complete with a spare Eagle engine and a box of spares and renamed it Dorothy. It seemed like a good way of putting a bit of distance between it and its original martial function. And all for £25. A lot of money back in 1919, which he'd been able neither to afford nor justify. Yet, he had not once regretted his rash purchase. Of course, having the farm made all the difference. His family had land and farm buildings, and that meant somewhere to store the machine and the space to operate it. He felt the occasional pang of guilt that he'd seen out that last summer of the war at Lark Hill, but then would remind himself he had spent much of the previous 3 years flying over the front lines, 3 years of being shot at, of witnessing friends and fellows burning alive, being riddled to pieces and colliding. He'd flown over the hellish gash of no man's land, tangled in heart-stopping fights across the sky, had been forced to kill his fellow man and taken part in much of the heaviest air fighting of the entire war. Somehow, he had suffered barely a scratch. It had always seemed a miracle that this should have been so. Yet by May 1918, just as his darling Tess had been born, he had realised his tank of courage had been spent, and that, if he was kept at the front any longer, he might well break entirely. And then, as he had wondered how he could solve this predicament without killing him.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?